This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
في الصحيحين البخاري مسلم حديث عبد الله بن عمرو. He said, "Don't be like يعني like fox, which is basically left and right all the time." Yes.
While praying, they look left and right, as does a fox being certain that is being hunted and chased. They do not attend the congregational prayer. Rather, they make do with praying in their homes or shops. While they argue, they behave uncouthly. When they are entrusted with something, they break the trust. When they speak, they lie. And when they promise, they break it. This is how they deal with the creation and creator. Read their description.
Hold on. So these are things to describe how they deal with the creator, which is how they do the salah. And when they deal with the creation, they're not any better. They basically, when they argue with someone, they behave in an unacceptable way. Uncouthly, I don't know what that means. What it means, uncouthly?
Uncouth. Uncouth is someone that's not very dignified, yeah.
Okay. Fajr, yeah, it means like al-fujur fil khusuma. It means when they argue, when they disagree. Okay. When they disagree with someone and there is a dispute, they will not hold back. They will use all false language. They will use all kind of accusation. They will reveal all your private information. They will be so aggressive. They will act as if they never had any relationship with you before. Okay? And, you know, and also they will twist your words. They will make your words carry many meanings that it doesn't necessarily means that. Or they know that you not intend that, but they will say, oh, that's what you said, necessitate that and this and that. You know, they cancel you completely. You know, that cancellation culture that you see sometimes. Part of the character of the hypocrite. And you can see this so, unfortunately, so many times online. You know, when people disagree with each other's, they immediately willing to cancel that person completely. This is when you disagree with them, or you, that's even if you did a mistake, it doesn't give you the right to act and behave this way. This is the behavior of the hypocrites, not the believers. Okay. And also, when they are entrusted with something, they break the trust. They betray you. They reveal your private information, your secrets. They will take your money. They will, don't care about your reputation, about your business. And you can imagine how common these characters today in the world. Okay, either Tumina Khan, wa idha ahada ghadar, and when ahd is not entrusted. A promise been taken, a very strong promise that he made or she made to someone, they all betrayed the person. And when they talk, they lie. And when they promise, they break their promises, okay? If this is the case, you just need to see how many of these hypocrite signs and character traits I have my slide. I fall into sometimes. And as many of these hypocrites accumulate on a person, the closer this person will be to the way of hypocrites and became a hypocritical person. And you see that this is both sides, with Allah and with the creation. تأخير الصلاة, delaying the salah, it's one of the sign of hypocrites. And remember that every time you pray late, that's not a good sign. a sign of hypocrisy. Why? Because true believer, Allah comes first. And one of Allah's biggest rights upon us is to pray on time. Now,
this is how they deal with creation and creator. Read their descriptions in the beginning of Al-Mutaffifin and at the end of Al-Tariq, for none can describe to you the characteristics of someone better than the one who knows him well.
I don't know about Al-Tariq. I fail to figure the significance in that. But he might meant Al-Ma'un, because Al-Ma'un mentioned Salat, that they delay the Salat, they miss the Salat, they don't give, they don't help. I couldn't figure out why it bought it. No.
يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين واغلظ عليهم ومأواهم جهنم وبئس المصير. O Prophet, do jihad against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be harsh of them. Their refuge is hell. What an evil destination. They may think they are many, but in reality they are few. They may think they are strong, but in reality they are weak and despicable. They are ignoramuses, thinking themselves high and mighty. They are misled about Allah, for they are ignorant of His greatness. وَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُمْ لَمِنْكُمْ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ يَفْرَقُونَ. They swear
maybe,
by Allah.
Hold on. Maybe in Surah Al-Tariq, it mentions they're plotting against the believers. Maybe that's what it is. I'm not sure. But that could be it. Yes.
They swear by Allah they are of your number, but they are not of your number. Rather, they are people who are scared. When Ahlu Sunnah meet with easy times, aid and victory, hard does it bear down on them, and depressed do they become. And when Ahlu Sunnah meet with straitened times and they are tried by Allah so that their sins may be expiated, jubilant do they become and exultant. This is their legacy, and in no way do those who inherit from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam compare to those who inherit from the hypocrites. إن تصبك حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبك مصيبة يقولوا تد أخذنا أمرنا من قبل ويتولوا وهم فرحون قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وَأَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. If good happens to you, it galls them. If a mishap occurs to you, they say, we made our preparations in advance, and they turn away rejoicing. Say, nothing can happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. He is our master, and it is in Allah that the believers should put their trust. إن تمسسكم حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبكم سيئة يفرحوا بها وإن تصبروا وتتقوا لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا إن الله بما يعملون محيط. If something good happens to you, it galls them. If something bad strikes you, they rejoice at it. But if you are patient and have taqwa, their screaming will not harm you in any way. Allah encompasses what they do.
Yes, subhanAllah. I will tell you a story that shows you the difference between the way the believers behave when they see their brothers and sisters making mistakes. Okay? And they are very different incidents, give very different, related to very different subjects. But in the end of the day, it shows how the true believer behave when they see their brothers make a mistake. I was once with one of my teachers in Haram. And at that time I was in college. So we saw like around the Kaaba, Tawaf around the Kaaba, people gathered and screaming and like police officer coming. And there is this young guy from South Asia, pulled aside, and some guy hitting him, and what was very strange scene to see in the Haram. So he stood up and walked toward the crowd, and I followed him, and he, mashallah, has that respect when he walk into a gathering with his traditional Saudi clothes. People realize that he's a sheikh from his look, and even the soldier. Then he pulled the guy away and said, stop, don't hit the guy. It's a very kind of a barbaric way of dealing with it. So we don't know what is going on here. So he talked to the soldier. There's one soldier there. And the soldier said that they accuse him that he was too close to a woman, something like not appropriate like that. And this young man, he was crying and crying. So my teacher, the sheikh, came and he took his, the shmal that he put, and he put it on this guy's head. He brought him to his chest and he walked him away from the crowd. Then he started talking to him. The guy was crying, and he told the officer, just, I'll take care of it. And he said to him, you can talk to your boss. And he mentioned a name. The guy understood immediately, this sheikh, somebody of authority and well-known. So he backed off. So then he came back by himself. And he told the soldier, khalas, it's so. So I asked this sheikh, I said to him, what happened? People, a'udhu billah, he's this, and start saying, you can imagine somebody doing something like that around the Haram, around Kaaba, in front of the Kaaba. You can imagine how bad this is. And everybody was so passionate and saying so much, so many bad things about this person. Just maybe he deserved to be punished, whatever. So when my teacher came back, and I said, what happened, Sheikh? I said, I let him go. And he said, Waleed, this is a young man. And he traveled all the way from his country. You think, and his country is an open country, and you can do whatever you want. You think that he came, I said, but how he should be punished? He said, Waleed, this person, the shaitan have played with his head. Shaitan is not, this is not Jannah. Shaitan can come to the Haram. And he said, this guy traveled all the way by himself. It's not like with his family. No. An adult, come all the way. And wearing ihram and putting all these expenses and all this effort. You think he came here to disobey Allah? No, he came to obey Allah. He came to repent to Allah. But he's just a young man, or maybe mistakes, maybe something wrong happened. We don't know the shaitan play with him. It's a moment of weakness. And we as a believer, we should be with each other, cover each other's mistakes and correct each other's mistakes. And I would never forget that incident. That much of mercy much of understanding of people. Is it, if this is what another person, another circumstances, maybe would have taken somebody who come for this purpose, this is where he lives and he comes only for, you know, to do bad things, whatever. But that's not the case here. And you're gonna make the shaitan happy. See how he deal with the belief versus the munafiqeen. If bad things happen to you, it make them happy to see you in trouble. For the believer, I feel bad when I see you, when bad things happen to you. And bad things is a sin or a calamity. It make me feel sad. That's why ulama all agree that it is not allowed for someone to say, I ask Allah to make you die as a kafir. May Allah make him die as a kafir. That's absolutely haram to say. And Nawawi rahimahullah said there is ijma' on this. You wish so bad for people. That's not the heart. So what do you think of some Muslim? I know some people, I see in online, sometimes people make dua against some people who appear to be Muslims, or some Muslims for sure. Maybe that bid'ah and stuff. That's because may Allah let them die as kuffar. A'udhu billah. The other incident in America, I was in a conference, and one of my roommate, or any one of my the colleagues and speaker, who came from Egypt. Somebody came to him and showed him a video clip for Sheikh Al-Qaradawi rahimahullah, and that video clip is very bad. He said something absolutely unacceptable. He said something in the line of, all these rulers who win elections with 99%. And he said, if Allah will go to election tomorrow, he will not get 99%. And, you know, something in that line. Not appropriate at all. I understand where he's coming from. He means, obviously he did for his defense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, many people on earth don't believe in Allah. But just to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that comparison and put him as an Allah, that's not the way Ahlul Sunnah should talk, or at least ulama Ahlul Sunnah, the one who so founded in Aqidah, they would never speak like this about the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it should not come from a scholar like him to say something like this, regardless of how much we respect the Shaykh and stuff like that. But that's not the point. The point is here. So when they show him that clip, they were trying to get some strong statement from him. He kind of let them go, and he was in tears. So I tell the guys, just leave the Sheikh for a little bit. And they left the room. He was crying, like really in tears. And making istighfar, and la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la hawla. And I said to Sheikh Ahmed, what happened? He said, Sheikh Waleed, Sheikh Al-Qaradawi been serving Islam for the last 70 years of his life. Or like 60 or 50 years in his life. And yet, he fall in a statement like this, which is so severe. What about me and you? What about us? Who did not serve Islam that long? Who did not offer that sacrifice? Who did not read as much as you read? Aren't we afraid that one day also we fall into things like this? May Allah forgive him. May Allah guide him. May Allah forgive him. May Allah guide him. May Allah protect us. SubhanAllah. And he was so sad to see someone who done so much to Islam that a word came like this out of his mouth. He kept making dua for him. For me, that was really a moment of impact. Because these guys coming, oh, we got you, kind of, you know, kind of attitude. It's so bad. Abu Dawood al-Dhahiri was debating someone. So he said something. So the person said, oh, you're saying that? That's kufr. Kafart. Walhamdulillah. Then Abu Dawood al-Dhahiri said, you say alhamdulillah that I became kafir? You're kafir, alhamdulillah. Yani, you're happy that I became kafir? That's dangerous. Some brother asked me why sometimes I might sound harsh against some of my brothers and sisters who are online behaving in a way that, yes, they behave in a way, it's like this. Oh, he became kafir, alhamdulillah. Oh, he became mubtadi, alhamdulillah. Even those people, they might have a good message. But the attitude and the character traits is similar to the hypocrites, a'udhu billah. So happy to catch something on you. It doesn't affect them a bit, astaghfirullah, that they see someone who is good and da'ya and scholar or a student of knowledge or a person of influence make a mistake. Oh, be good. I've got you. Now it's a new video comes out, a new refutation. But I can tell you something I've seen. There is nothing in their heart feels so sorry for the person. So sad that this comes out of the person. So scary for me as a believer to fall into one person's fall. And that's a very interesting point to keep in mind. Don't ever be happy when you see one Muslim brothers or any Muslim got in problem. May Allah protect us all. Now.
Allah abhors their obeying him because of the filth of their heart and impure intentions, as he held them back and impeded them from obeying him. He hates to have them close to him and in his vicinity due to their love of his enemies. As such, he distanced them and discarded them. They turned away from his revelation, and so he turned away from them and decreed misery for them. He judged them with pure justice, and they have no hope for victory unless they become of the penitent.
Can you just I want you guys to
check around.
Can you guys just reflect upon this a little bit? The first sentence, Allah. The first sentence in the paragraph. Yeah.
Allah abhors the obeying him because of the filth of their hearts and impure intentions. As such,
Allah abhors their obeying him. Yani, Allah dislike their ibadah. Allah doesn't like their ibadah. Not the ibadah, their ibadah. Why? Allah dislike their salah. Why? Because of the filth of their hearts and the corruption intention that they have. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make them pray in the masjid or make it on time or even pray long prayer. It's just very short, so the connection is very, very limited. Something to think about. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like the way I prayed also? That's why I keep missing it? That's why Allah didn't, he doesn't care about me. That's why I keep missing salah, joining salawat, praying very fast, never spend time Because Salah is like an appointment with Allah. Salah is like an appointment. You take an appointment with someone. And you have a private conversation with that person. Salah is nothing but like that. It's an appointment between you and Allah. Sometimes when people come to talk to me and I don't like them, I make it very short and it's very obvious when you don't like someone to make it as short as possible. To avoid it as much as you can. To limit it as much as you can. That's terrifying. If you see this is happening for me, it's because of that. And the solution is to purify your heart. To go and cleanse your soul. That's deep. Rahimahullah. And what he said, it comes from a verse that he will bring it right now. Good.
وَلَوْ أَرَادُ الْخُرُوجَ لَأَدُّ لَهُ أُدَّةً وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ بِآثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ وَقِيلَ اقْعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَائِدِينَ. If they had really desired to go out, they would have made proper preparations for it. But Allah was averse to their setting out, so he held them back, and they were told, stay behind with those who stay behind.
What's thabbatahum? Averse. I don't know if that's the right meaning, but I just want to make sure there's a cap to put here. Whatever that word means to you. فَثَبَّطَهُمْ يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left them for themselves. Did not them give that extra aid and not like open their hearts and encourage them and give them that strength to do it. No, I just left them for themselves. And when you're left for your own desire take over. And why did he leave them for themselves? So he's just unfair. He left them for themselves. Why he left them for themselves? He doesn't want them to be out. He doesn't like the corruption of their hearts, how fake they are. And Allah will tell you now why too. Uh-huh.
Then he mentioned the wisdom behind his doing, what has previously been mentioned. He is the wisest of the wise. لو خرجوا فيكم لو خرجوا فيكم ما زادوكم إلا خبالا ولو أوضعوا خلالكم ولو أوضعوا
ما زادوكم إلا خبالا ولا أوضعوا خلالكم
يبغونكم الفتنة وفيكم سماؤون لهم والله أليم بالظالمين. If they had gone out among you, they would have added nothing to you but confusion. They would have scurried about amongst you seeking to cause conflict between you, and among you there were some who would have listened to them. Allah knows the wrongdoers. The text of the revelation bore down heavily on them, so they found them abhorrent and unable to carry them, they renounced them. They were unable to preserve the sunnah, so they ignored it. They found the text of the book and sunnah combating their desires, so they laid down laws and principles by which they could reject them or weaken them. Allah has unveiled this.
Umar radiallahu anhu said about the people of follow desire. He said the sunnah is so heavy for them. It's so hard for them to follow. So what they come up with? They come up with their opinions. And they're rejecting the sunnah. It's hard for them to memorize it. It's hard for them to understand it. It's hard for them to practice it. So what they did, they basically rejected it and they called people to follow their desires and opinions. People find the Quran was sunnah and what came in it, what came in it is so hard. So they found all these ways to run away from it. Today somebody was asking me, about an Egyptian guy who's one of these misguided people in modern days. And some of the things that he was saying, he said, we've not been asked to follow the Sunnah. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a role model, it doesn't mean that you follow what he says and what he did. No, it means that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you take it the big picture. He was a good man, so be a good man. But it doesn't mean that if you pray two rak'ah before Fajr, you pray two rak'ah before Fajr. No, it means yani, you should care about to pray. Because he prayed five times, doesn't mean you pray five times. You just should pray. A'udhu billah, dhalal. Complete misguided. Yeah, he is kind of Qur'ani. But even the Qur'an is not saved from them. Oh, Allah doesn't mean this and Allah doesn't mean that. Why? Because they have their own rules and their own principles. And when they made these principles, and the Qur'an came and opposed these principles, it became a problem. It became a problematic. So what they do, instead of going back to their principles and correct it, they start twisting the verses of the Qur'an to meet their principles. You following me? And I give you one of the most important principles that the people of al-Kalam, of philosophy, have established. In their debate with atheists, or in their debates, to be more accurate, with those who believe that the world is infant, yani has no beginning. And that we mean by that, it is that the origin of everything come from this world. It is always the origin. So in another way, this is God. If there's no God, it is basically things comes by itself. And this things, the world that you're living in, is infant, looking into the past. You follow? So there's no need for God. So these guys came and started debating them to prove that this world has a beginning. And if it has a beginning, it means somebody started. And it can be something that, you know, has no beginning. So what they did, they came up with this concept. They said that the proof that this world is not old and always been exist, that there is new things happen to it. False spring, trees, animals. So there's nothing here in here stayed the same. There's a change happened to it. So since there is things and change happened to it and new things happened to it, okay? So it means it is also a new. Because the thing that's new that happened to it, it's part of it. And since it's new and part of it became new, so that means the whole thing is new. It's a lengthy logic that they use. That's the summary of it. Okay. We have you proven to them that this world is not old, is not the beginning. It just at one point was created. But we established these rules. We defeated them. Okay, what's next? Next, they came to the Quran. Allah says in the Quran that He, after creating the throne, He sat or He was above on the throne. So He was not above the throne before He created the throne. No, He wasn't. Settle on the throne. Tayyib, they read in the Quran that in the day of judgment, Allah will come. They read in the Quran that Allah speaks whenever He wants. So He's not speaking now, then He's speaking after a little bit, When Musa came to the point, he spoke to the Musa before arriving to that point in Sinai. He was not speaking to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like Khalid ibn al-Walid when he was kafir. But after he became Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. Allah loves you when you do good. So now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do these new things, so if that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became new himself, that's their logic. Okay? So they said, that doesn't work. So what's the solution? And instead of going back to say, no, our logic that we use to debate these guys are not correct, makes no sense. And there is a difference between a new entities appear and equality. There's nothing new to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. Instead of going back to make the Quran Sunnah is the principle and to make their principles follow us in the Quran Sunnah, they did the opposite. They said, we have now to understand the Quran Sunnah according to our principle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never above his throne. He doesn't come in the day of judgment. He doesn't talk whenever he wants. He doesn't love and dislike you. Now, either he loved you from the beginning or not. So they deny all the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, it makes no sense, because when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved you, it doesn't mean that the love as a quality, something just happened to Allah at that point. No, it is you, the one that Allah's love became connected to it. But love has always been the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing new happened to him. But that concept may, Ash'ari, Maturidi, Mu'tazili, Jahmiya, all of them deny all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions. Afa'alullah al-ikhtiyariya. The action that done by choice. And that's why why I get into this, it's because that's what he, rahimahullah, was talking about when he said, ثَقُلَتْ عَلَيْهُمُ النُّصُوصِ. Text of the revelation bore down heavily on them. So they found them, so heavy. So what they did, they just push back. That's why they came up with the most nonsense things you can ever sometimes found. Like some Razi, may Allah forgive him, when he talked about وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. When your Lord, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, جَاءَ means comes, رَبُّكَ your Lord, okay, comes, and the angels, lions. He said, Rabbuk here could be, one of the meaning, could be. It means the angels who used to take care of you. Because Rabb, it means what? The one who take care of you. So he said, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكِ, يعني the angel who used to take care of you, Muhammad. And the angels. يعني والله, if you are from Czechoslovakia, if you are from Armenia, you will understand that this makes no sense in Arabic. But it's heavy. How I can deal with that? That Allah comes, it will destroy my whole argument. They push. So they read a hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Jews told him that we, in their books, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the heavens on one of his finger and the earth on one of his finger and the mountains on another finger. And so then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. They said, no, you don't take your aqidah from a Jew person. SubhanAllah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if what the Jewish person, the Jewish person said wrong, wouldn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smile and kind of laugh at him and smile at him? Or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be angry that they made a kufr in front of him? No, his smile, he was mocking them. What kind of nonsense is that? His smile means he was mocking them. It's so problematic for them. Because he can't get out of it. Because for them, you can't ever say that Allah has a hand or fingers. So text like this is so problematic for them. So heavy. So they deal with it the same way you deal with an enemy. You're just trying to defeat it, to push back as much as you can. Like another famous Ash'ari scholar, Ibn Jama'ah, when he came to Hadith al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when the hellfire keep asking for more, Allah will put his foot on the top of it, and it will shrink beneath his feet. Ibn Jama'ah said, oh, if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala puts his foot on the top of hellfire, it means the hellfire will burn Allah's feet. Means Allah will punish himself in hellfire. What? A'udhu billah. You have to be a really sick mind to think this way. So all these kind of behavior with the sunnah in the Quran, it comes from there is no complete iman in the heart on the uniqueness of Allah. And we learn part of hypocrisy when your heart is not fully submitting to Allah. Yes, go ahead, read.
Allah has unveiled their secrets and propounded parables for them. Know that each generation that succeeds them is like them, and so he has described them as described them for his friends that they may be aware of them. He says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That is because they hate what Allah has sent down, so he has made their actions come to nothing. This holds true for all who finds texts burdensome and see them coming between him and his innovations and desires. It seems to him that he has a cross. He has come across an unbreakable solid structure, so he trades them for false rhetoric, exchanging a reality for illusion, this leading to the corruption of his inner and outer. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ كَرِهُوا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ سَنُطِعُكُمْ فِي
مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ
مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَنُطِعُكُمْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَمْرِ.
لا hold on. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Or you are ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ كَرِهُوا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ. Sorry, I went up. Just there is something missing here. It seems to him that he has come across unbreakable solid treasure, so he trade them for false rhetoric, exchanging reality for illusion. And I understand why he did that, because it's kind of hard to translate. In the Arabic text, there is a little bit different. In the Arabic text, he said, so when he said, Come across an unbreakable solid structure. So he trade them for false rhetoric. He trade the textual evidence for false rhetoric in the Arabic, it says, quotation mark, بمحصول. المحصول is a book written by Razi, the famous Ash'ari, Fakhruddin Razi. His name, بمحصل, so not محصول, محصل. He has a book, it's called محصل أفكار المتقدمين والمتأخرين من العلماء والحكماء والمتكلمين. It's a book that he wrote, and it has all these principles of all philosophers in the old days and modern days of his time. Okay. And it's a very philosophical book, laid out certain principles and things of that nature. So it became like one of their big reference. So he said, when this book, Muhassal, and also another book he mentioned, quotation mark, Al-Fusus, which is Fusus al-Hikam for Ibn Arabi, which is the Sufis. And so those who be misguided in the area of spirituality and those who misguided in the area of intellect, they have these two books as main reference for them. And he said they took these references to seek their spirituality and to seek their intellect from Muhassal, from Fusus, Ibn Arabi, for spirituality, instead of seeking that guidance for spirituality and the logic, the sound logic from the Quran and Sunnah. So that's what he said in the Arabic. But I understand it's kind of hard to translate it, but I just don't want you to miss the point, and also to show you the connection between what he's saying and the comment I made earlier about the mutakallimin and the people of Kalam and the people who like the Ash'ari, the Maturidi, the Mu'tazili, the Jahmiyyah in general, how they have a big yani problem dealing with the nusus of Quran and Sunnah while they keep holding up the principle that they put in theology. No.
Allahu ya'lamu israrahum fa kayfa idha tawaffathum al mala'ikatu yadribuna wujuhahum wa adbarahum ذلك بأنهم اتبعوا ما أسخط الله وكرهوا رضوانه فأحبط أعمالهم. That is because they said to those who hate what Allah has sent down, we will obey you in part of the affair, but Allah knows their secrets. How will it be when the angels take them in death, beating their faces and their backs? That is because they follow what angers Allah and what hatred pleases him. So he made their actions come to nothing. They think that if they hide their disbelief and display their faith, they will have acquired a great profit. But how can this be so when the all-seeing has unveiled their secrets? أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ أَلَّنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهُ أَدْغَانَهُمْ وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَأَرَيْنَكُمْ فَلَأَرَيْنَكَهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ ولا تعرفنهم في لحن القول والله يعلم أعمالكم. Or did those with sickness in their hearts imagine that Allah would not expose their malevolence? If we wished, we would show them to you, and you would know them by their mark and know them by their ambivalent speech. Allah knows your actions. How will they be when they are gathered on the day of At-Talaq, and Allah, mighty and magnificent, manifests himself and uncovers his shin? The day when they are called to prostrate, but they are unable to, Khashi'atan absaruhum tarhaquhum dhillah. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. Their eyes will be downcast, darkened by debasement, for they were called to prostrate when they were in full possession of their faculties. How will they be when they are gathered together to traverse the bridge spanning hell, a bridge finer than a blade of hair and sharper than the edge of the sword? Easy to slip off, entrenched in darkness, and none can cross it save those guided by a light that shows them where to place their feet. Light is apportioned amongst man. The intensity of light each person has governed swiftness by which he will cross that bridge. They are given a superficial light with which they accompany the Muslims, just as they used to accompany the Muslims in this life. Outwardly praying, giving wealth tax, performing the pilgrimage and fasting. When they reach the middle of the bridge, their light is blown out by the sharp wind of hypocrisy, and they come to a halt in utter confusion, not knowing how to proceed. A wall containing a door is placed between them and the believers' side, which contains mercy, while the side upon which they find themselves in contains punishment. They cry out to the believers, who in the distance sparkle like stars. In dhuruna naqtabis min nurikum. Wait for us so that we can borrow some of your light, so that we may cross this bridge in safety. قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا. They will be told, go back and look for the light. Go back to where the light was first apportioned. Never will anyone stop to aid them in such a situation. None will assist another on that path, and a close friend will not turn to aid his friend. They will remind the believers that they accompanied them in this life, just as a wayfarer reminds the resident that he accompanied him on his journey. Alam nakum ma'akum, were we not with you? We fasted with you, prayed with you, recited the Quran with you, and performed the pilgrimage with you, while we have been separated from you. They will reply, your bodies were with us, but your hearts were with every deviant and every disbelieving tyrant. Yunadunahum alam nakum ma'akum. Qalu bala walakinnakum fatabantum fatantum anfusakum wa tarabbastum wartabtum وغرتكم
قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغر فَالْيَوْمَ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْكُمْ فِدْيَةٌ وَلَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارُ هِيَ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ.
But you made trouble for yourselves and hung back and doubted, and false hopes deluded you until Allah's command arrived. The deluder deluded you about Allah. So today, no ransom will be accepted from you or from those who were disbelievers. Your refuge is the fire. It is your master. What an evil destination. The descriptions of
Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وغرتكم الأماني يعني that they've been deluded by this Amani, false hope, wrong hope. And these false hope and wrong hopes not coming because they don't know. No, it comes because they took the wrong path. They left behind them Al-Quran and Sunnah. They left the way of Muhammad ﷺ and the way of the companions, hoping that this also work. Allah told them it doesn't work. Allah told them how to be saved. Allah showed them the way to save themselves. You have all these falsehoods. Oh, I will repent later on. I'll change later on. You know, I exposed my heart to so many doubts. I listened to doubts. I read doubts. I sit with people of doubts and end up atheist. End up doubting the religion. End up agnostic. End up rejecting the Quran and Sunnah, end up doubting the Quran, doubting the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, doubting the Sunnah, doubting the way of the early generations. All these doubts came while you hope that you are a true researcher. You're a person of, you know, I hope that I'm being a academic and professional and, you know, all this justification that we give to ourselves, but the reality is we just corrupted our heart. وغرتكم الأماني. Yep.
The descriptions of these people are numerous, but on Allah, what we have omitted is more than what we have mentioned. One could almost say that the whole Quran is about them due to their plenitude on the face of this earth and in its belly, namely their graves. There is not a single place on earth except they are to be found therein. Hudhayfa once heard a person saying, "O Allah, destroy the hypocrites." He said, "Son of my brother, were he to destroy the hypocrites,
son of my brother," is a very bad way of translating it. Cousin.
Okay. Were he to destroy the hypocrites, you would find yourself walking down the roads alone, because hardly anybody would be left. By Allah, the hearts of the righteous predecessors live.
I know we're 6 minutes over. I just want to finish at a good point to finish. Yeah, maybe here. Yani, unless you guys okay with 5 more minutes. Yeah, I mean,
let's continue, Chef. 5 minutes is fine.
I'm the only one. Let me see. I think here is good. Okay. By Allah, the hearts of the righteous predecessor lived in dread of hypocrisy. Inshallah, we'll stop here. That's kind of a new point. Talk about how the fear of hypocrisy. It's because the fear of hypocrisy, because it's not you being fully hypocrite, but what you worry, what is so dangerous is to have one of their quality and part of one of their quality, because they see how hated they are. You don't want anything to do with them. May Allah protect us from it. Like, we'll stop here, inshallah, and we'll continue in the next time. Thank you. I will leave the floor open if somebody has a comment. Or
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Quick question, because next week is obviously the holidays in the US. Are we carrying on as usual?
Thursday. Where I'm going to be Thursday? Yani, inshallah, I always like to keep my class. So unless I can't, I will let you guys know. But I keep my class. Like even today, I was reserving a flight on Thursday in December. And I made sure to arrive there so I don't miss my class. Anyway, I will... I'll let you guys know. If anything changes, I'll let you guys by Monday, inshallah.
Inshallah. I also did have a question. This is from a few weeks ago, though. It was regarding, you had a point on rulers in Islam, and the question was that when it comes to like authority and khilafah, is the opinion that the leader must be from the Quraysh, is that like unanimous as a condition among the scholars, or is there a difference on it?
The condition of the Khalifa, the Muslims Khalifa, are two types. Conditions, what we call them shurutu sihha, and conditions, which is shurutu kamal. Yani a condition for validity. Without it, it will be invalid. And there is a condition which is to perfect the actions or the contract. Okay, so there's two sets of rules. So the rules here related to the Quraysh, it is not for the validity, it is for the completion. So the perfect Khalifa must be from Quraysh. The perfect Khalifa, like one of the conditions of the Khulafa, the Khalifa is to be strong, healthy, okay, educated, have experience in war, knows how to, these are not conditioned, without it will be invalid, okay? But there is a condition, without it will be, the khilafah will be not valid, like Islam, okay? Like for example, freedom, cannot be a slave. Because he's not been a control of the whole Muslim world, but controlled by somebody else. Completion is like righteousness, like fasiq. The Khalifa can be fasiq. It's not the perfect Khalifa. All the ulama agree that the Khalifa should be good and righteous, as not fasiq or dictators. But also they agree if it happened, the Khilafa is valid. Only Ahlul Bid'ah, like Khawarij and Mu'tazila. Because Mu'tazila for them, fasiq is not a Muslim. So, same thing with Quraysh. All the ulama agreed that Quraysh is one of the conditions. But can be the Khilafah valid without it? Yes.
So like the Ottomans, they would still be valid?
Yeah. Huh?
So like the Ottomans would still be valid? I've heard some people say they weren't valid.
No, it is a valid Khilafah, absolutely. Not the Ottoman only. You have the Mamluki, the Mughals, the Seljuk, so many Khulafa exist in the Muslim world. We're not Quraysh.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.